and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. It was another Thanksgiving where most big box stores weren't open. KTVT's Nick Starling found most folks were okay with that.
Major big box stores such as Walmart, Target, Best Buy, and Kohl's announced in 2020 during the pandemic they wouldn't open on Thanksgiving to limit crowds. And that policy still continues.
The times have changed a little bit, and that I think people are like wanting to stay more at home and not as focused on going into stores and just maybe doing a lot of like online shopping.
It's also a benefit to those who typically had to work on this holiday.
Got a chance to enjoy Thanksgiving, spend time with friends, family, instead of working. It's pretty nice.
Now, other factors such as staffing remains a challenge for retailers.
Nick reported from Arlington, Texas. A difficult Thanksgiving for those who would normally spend it at an LGBTQ club in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where five people were shot and killed Saturday. CBS's Jeff Pagay says the community tried to lessen the pain.
A local church stepped up to host a meal for those who would normally have gathered at Club Q for Thanksgiving. Restaurants donated pies and food.
No matter what your sexuality is, no matter what your religion is, no matter what your politics are, you're a person and you matter to us.
President Biden visited a firehouse on Nantucket Island, Massachusetts on Thanksgiving. He told reporters he's going to ask Congress to pass some form of gun control before Republicans take over the House in January. A writer who accused Donald Trump of rape has filed another lawsuit against him, says CBS's Steve Dorsey.
E. Jean Carroll is a longtime syndicated advice columnist and says Trump raped her in a dressing room at a luxury Manhattan department store in the mid-1990s. The latest suit is under a new New York law for adults alleging sexual assault. She's also suing him for defamation after he called her claims, quote, totally false.
Winter weather adding to the hardship caused by Russian strikes on Ukraine, says CBS's Elaine Cobb.
Russian strikes have left many parts of the country without water or power. But as they wait their turn, these residents are defiant and say they'll stay put despite the hardship. There's no way we'll leave, says Serhiy Boyko. We are Ukrainians. We will fight until the end.
An investigation of a now former Australian prime minister who secretly appointed himself to lead multiple cabinet departments has recommended that all such appointments be made public in the future. This past summer, it was revealed that then Prime Minister Scott Morrison appointed himself head of five departments, usually without telling the head of the department. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. It's true, for the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members now. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yeah, they can handle your bills, too. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, before November 30th, they will waive your new member fee. So you're going to save even more. MediShare is the gold standard in healthcare sharing. And joining right now makes a lot of sense. Again, pay no new member fees if you join now. And start enjoying great savings and a great way to handle your healthcare. Call now. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE, 866-88-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 27 overnight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 44, tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Lows dip down to about 32, tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Low 50s, Saturday, turning much cooler, Sunday, with highs in the upper 30s and snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, today is the 58th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And it's kind of a slow news day, so I want to do an absolute deep dive, like one for the ages, one that will live on YouTube forever and or, you know, whatever, on an archive over on our podcast that people can look back on, with my buddy Lamar Waldron. I'll get to that in just a moment. Recently we saw the exoneration of two people who had been accused of assassinating Malcolm X. This, I think, should cause us to pause for a moment and say, wait a minute, a rush to judgment in Malcolm X, there's still questions around the Bobby Kennedy assassination, there's still questions about the Martin Luther King assassination, and of course, the JFK assassination is the big one, right? Lamar and I researched this for decades. Lamar has spent more than 30 years working on this. He has written 3 books altogether. I participated in 2 of them. One of those books, the most recent, The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, Lamar wrote himself. The ones that he and I wrote together, Ultimate Sacrifice and A Legacy of Secrecy, are still out there and in print. We're going to be talking about 2 secret sources that gave us information about the JFK assassination. And we're going to do it, as I said, a deep dive all 3 hours of the program today. In our 3rd hour, we will take your calls for Lamar and me on what we learned out of this. But first, I want to lay it all out. So with us now is my co-author on those first 2 books, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. Or I guess I'm his co-author. Lamar did the majority of the heavy lifting on these books. I participated in a lot of the research. Variety called him the ultimate JFK historian. The Chicago Tribune called him one of the best investigative journalists in America. Lamar, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you again, Tom.
And thank you, Lamar. So let's start like you did in your most recent book, the JFK, the hidden history of the JFK assassination. Who killed John F. Kennedy and why?
Well, to give you the briefest summary possible, which even that'll take 4 or 5 minutes, the masterminds who killed JFK were 3 mafia bosses: Carlos Marcello, the mafia boss of Louisiana and much of Texas; Santo Trafficante, the godfather of Tampa, and again the mob boss of much of Florida, though Miami was kind of an open city, but Trafficante was certainly first among equals, even in Miami. And then a guy who was not a godfather. Those first 2 were godfathers, and if you know anything about the mafia, you know the godfather sits at the top of a mafia family. But the next guy involved, who was totally crucial, and one of the secret sources we're going to be revealing today, actually told me, you got 2 if you've got Marcello and Trafficante, but you need the 3rd. And he was totally right. And he was Bobby Kennedy's right-hand man. We'll talk about him shortly. But that mafia don's name was Johnny Roselli. Johnny Roselli was the Chicago mafia's man in Hollywood and Las Vegas. Johnny Roselli worked for the mob boss of Chicago, a man by the name of Sam Giancana. But Sam Giancana was under so much pressure by the Kennedy Justice Department in 63, he couldn't really take an active role. But Johnny Roselli sure could. And so those three mob bosses, but they were something else. They were, in addition to being mob bosses, they were also CIA assets. All three of them had been working with the CIA since even before JFK became president on, originally, Vice President Richard Nixon's plots to have the CIA and the mafia work together to assassinate Fidel Castro. That all started before the 1960 election.
This was back in 59, wasn't it? Nixon setting this up in anticipation of the election because Kennedy was beating him up so badly for letting Castro go, take Cuba communist?
Actually, even before JFK got the nomination in the summer of 60, you're exactly right. It started in 59 when Nixon went to Jimmy Hoffa and had Hoffa be kind of the broker between the CIA and the mafia, but that didn't work. So in the summer of 60, they said, let's go more direct. So the CIA directly sat down and talked with Johnny Roselli. He got him in touch with his boss, Giancana, and most importantly, Santo Trafficante. And then Carlos Marcello came into the mix. So it's important to remember, because some critics who either haven't read our books or haven't read anything we published since 2005 try to say, well, Waldron and Hartman blame it completely on the mafia, which is totally wrong. If anybody reads our books or has seen the Discovery Channel specials produced by the NBC News Dateline division, they'll know we always bring the CIA into it. And so those mob bosses were able to get other people in the CIA to work with them, including the head of operations at the Miami CIA station, a man by the name of David Morales, a lower-level agent by the name of Bernard Barker, a name familiar to some of your listeners because he was the assistant to a guy your listeners, many of them will know, by the name of E. Howard Hunt. And then there were other mobsters involved as well, like David Ferry, played by Joe Pesci in the Oliver Stone film, who was actually a CIA agent. And a guy named John Martino. And so those men working together, along with the head of the French Connection, the developer of the French Connection, that brought in the heroin. There was a big heroin problem throughout the 50s and into the early 60s, and then again starting in the late 60s. The head of that operation, whose apartment you visited while he was still alive, the outside of it, a guy by the name of Michael Victor Mertz, who was deported by the United States government.
Oh, I tried to track him down to France.
Exactly right.
I flew to France and spent a whole week chasing that guy.
And you actually had the guts to go to his apartment, which is on one of the nicest streets in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
The same street where the Duke of Windsor lived, you know. And so those guys working together. And like I say, Mertz got deported by Customs, INS. Actually, the day after the assassination from Dallas.
Right.
So those guys working together, but they were all also working for the CIA. So again, the top guys in the CIA, they weren't involved because they didn't even know about these CIA mafia plots that were continuing into 1963. But yes, these lower-level guys we just mentioned, and get this, all of the mob bosses confessed. You don't have to take our word for it, and they didn't confess for money. They confessed late in life to very trusted associates. And John Martino confessed. David Morales confessed. Bernard Barker almost confessed. And by the way, Bernard Barker was a Cuban exile. So many people say, well, was it the CIA? Was it the mafia? Was it Cuban exiles? Well, Barker is a perfect example of somebody who was all three. But because they had those CIA connections, they were able to do what we'll be talking about much of the first hour, which is this super, super top secret plan that's really part of the reason everything has been kept secret for so long. And your listeners should know, we got the story. In most cases, in addition to 30, I don't want to diminish 30 years of work on our part or things where we spent that day looking through all the microfilm of the Tampa newspapers.
Oh, that was
insane. Discovered JFK was almost killed in Tampa 4 days before Dallas. Many of your listeners don't realize that.
And they also tried to kill him in Chicago before Tampa.
Exactly. 3 weeks before Dallas, almost killed him in Chicago. 4 days before Dallas, almost killed him in Tampa. Our books are the only place you'll ever read about that because we discovered it. And then I talked to the Tampa chief of police at the time. He says, boy, I've been waiting. I talked to him in the mid-90s. He's like, yeah, I've been waiting on this call for decades. I'm shocked nobody's called me about this because it was no secret. And so, but we got the inside story from 24 people who actually worked with John and Robert Kennedy on these very things.
Right, and we'll get into the details of that in just a moment. It's 15 minutes past the hour. We're doing a deep dive into the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Today is the 58th anniversary of his assassination. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, along with Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program,
which I helped write, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. We'll be right back with Lamar Waldron.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 29. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 47. Lows level off around 33 tomorrow night. Clear skies Saturday with daytime highs approaching 53. 41, chance for scattered showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. So there are actually some substantial differences between the Taliban, the Afghanistan Taliban, the group that has, you know, that Donald Trump signed what his Secretary of State and, or excuse me, his Defense Secretary and his National Security Advisor referred to as surrender documents to back in early 2020. There's a difference between the Taliban and ISIS, or even K-ISIS, which is how they're identifying the ISIS group that has emerged in Afghanistan. The main difference is that the Taliban's ambitions are largely confined to Afghanistan. They want to be a regional force. They were the government of Afghanistan before. They want to be the government of Afghanistan again. ISIS, on the other hand, wants to reestablish the entire caliphate across the Middle East, across Northern Africa, across parts of Southern Europe. And this is going to bring these two into conflict. I've got a whole video about this over at TomHartmann.com for folks who support the program. Check it out. Welcome back. On the line with us is Lamar Waldron. We're doing a deep dive today into the Kennedy assassination. It's the anniversary of the assassination. And so, Lamar, let's start, you know, where you and I kind of began back in the 90s when we were first, or in the 80s, actually, when we were first doing a real deep dive into this. And that would be with John F. Kennedy's Secretary of State, Dean Rusk.
That's exactly right. And you raised another point. People should know what got us into this, because it's going to come up again when we reveal another secret source, was a 1988, fall 1988, special by the most prominent journalist of the 1970s, and was still pretty well known in the 80s, a guy by the name of Jack Anderson. And he did a special on the 25th anniversary. You and I both saw it. Jack Anderson had known Johnny Roselli and had interviewed him and used some of his information. And at the end of that special, it said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I haven't seen it in quite a while, that there were still hundreds of pages of JFK assassination files still secret. So you and I saw the end of that and was like, well, why on earth could be key? Because that's the 25th anniversary, fall of 88. You know, what could be so secret that there were still hundreds of pages of files secret? Of course, I mean, we were so naive because they released 4.5 million pages since, but that doesn't even include all the really good stuff. So that's what got us into it. And then we were working at a corporate communications company that you owned.
And
doing the newsletter for Georgia Public Television, the PBS outlets in Georgia. And Dean Rusk, who had been JFK's Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State for JFK's successor, Lyndon Johnson, through much of the 60s, too, and, you know, so he was a distinguished guy, and they were going to be doing a program of his oral reminiscences, and I read his biography in preparation for that. And so the plan was we'd interview him for the newsletter. I would interview him for the newsletter. You and I would talk about everything ahead of time. And then at the end of the conversation, I was going to ask him a question or two about, you know, what could be so secret that it would still be secret after 25 years? Plus, I'd come across a Washington Post article that had mentioned in the obituary of a Cuban exile that this particular Cuban exile had been part of JFK's plans for a second invasion of Cuba in the fall of 1963. Well, for your listeners that don't have the gray hair you and I have, once Castro came to power, first Richard Nixon tried to assassinate Fidel. That didn't work. The CIA sold JFK a bill of goods, saying, "Well, we'll train these Cuban exiles to go in, and they'll, 1,500 or so Cuban exiles. Yeah, they can conquer all of Cuba. Castro's 100,000 man militia and army. Yeah, these guys can take care of that." And of course, the CIA didn't believe that for a moment, but the CIA was still working with the mafia without telling the new president. They were still working with Trafficante, Roselli, and Marcello.
At the same time, Bobby was aggressively prosecuting these mafia guys.
Right, because that's how JFK became president in the first place, was going after, on televised hearings, widely publicized hearings, going after the mafia, including Trafficante, dragging Sam Giancana, Roselli's boss, and Carlos Marcello in front of the Senate committee. So Senator John F. Kennedy and his brother, the committee's counsel, Robert Kennedy, that's how JFK came to prominence, was going after the mafia and their ally-slash-banker, Jimmy Hoffa. And so once JFK became president, he appointed his brother Bobby attorney general. You know, people can debate the merits of that, but it was no Trump-like situation. I mean, Bobby, everybody, you know, because you and I've talked to, you know, a bunch of people that work with Bobby, and Bobby went after the mafia harder than anyone, because the mafia had it easy under Nixon. He'd been in the mob's pocket since he began.
Well, and J. Edgar Hoover, too, was being blackmailed by them.
Exactly. So, you know, so finally they were going after the mafia. So unknown to Bobby, Attorney General Robert Kennedy and President Kennedy, you know, while the Bay of Pigs is going on, the mafia is still working for the CIA, because, you know, yeah, there's no way 1,500 Cuban exiles are going to conquer Cuba or defeat Castro's 100,000-man army militia. But, you know, the hope would be that even though JFK swore U.S. troops would never be used in Cuba, the CIA was certain that once Fidel and probably Raul and Che Guevara were all killed by the mafia, that then JFK would have no choice. There would be chaos in Cuba. A lot of Americans still lived in Cuba, had interest and property that had not quite yet been all nationalized. And so that was what was supposed to happen. Well, that didn't happen. That was a big failure. And then a year and a half after that, something in 1962 called the Cuban Missile Crisis, very important, and because that's when we all thought, and I don't know about you, but I know for me, you know, we would go to the bomb shelter in elementary school.
We were terrified. I was terrified. I was a little kid. I was terrified. We thought the world was going to end. We thought it was going to be a nuclear holocaust.
Exactly right. So that was just a year before JFK's assassination. So that's going to bring us up to what I'm going to reveal that Secretary of State Dean Rusk told me and us about this big secret that's the reason, one big reason for so much secrecy even today.
We'll get to that in just a moment with Lamar Waldron. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's a deep dive into who killed John Kennedy, how, and why, with Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.
Car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9000.
Game day. Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Puzzles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name
then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor, wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 27, overnight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 44, tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Lows dip down to about 32, tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Low 50s, Saturday, turning much cooler, Sunday, with highs in the upper 30s and snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Our one-hour free podcast recaps our show, and it's available wherever fine podcasts are found. And we have the full three-hour podcast available over at TomHartmann.com if you want to really support our program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. We're doing a deep dive into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Lamar Waldron and I wrote two books, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy Love Secrecy, on this. And then the ultimate book, which Lamar wrote himself more recently, titled The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We were just talking about how back in 88, Louise and I owned an advertising agency in Atlanta. It was called the Newsletter Factory. And we were producing a newsletter. We also produced a newsletter for the Kennedy Library, which is how I got in to meet Dave Powers. We'll talk about that later. But we were producing a newsletter for the local PBS station in Atlanta. And Dean Rusk was coming in to do an oral history. And Lamar went over to interview him on our behalf. Lamar was running the seminar division of our company, which, by the way, we conducted seminars for the NSA. We taught the CIA. We taught Army intelligence. We taught everybody.
Do you remember when the FBI paid for their, it was like $300, and they paid with, I think, like their drug buy money?
Yeah, these FBI guys showed up, and they paid in cash. It was funny. Anyhow, so you went and interviewed Dean Rusk. And he dropped this bombshell that got us just nuts on, okay, we've got to figure out who killed Kennedy because of this.
And who can tell us more about what Rusk revealed. So,
right.
So the first half of the interview, Rusk had his answers. I mean, it was the same, because we got to see an advanced showing of that special that was going to be on Georgia PBS, and the biography. I mean, he had his rehearsed answers about, you know, Vietnam and why it wasn't such a bad idea to start with, and then it turned into a bad, you know, and it was, you know, it was just the routine stuff. And then at the end, with the tape recorder still rolling, I said, by the way, a friend of mine and I are working on a book. At that time, it was going to be a novel. And I just had a couple questions for you. And he said, sure. And I said, well, you know, there was this one sentence in this otherwise big, uncontroversial Washington Post article, obituary for a Bay of Pigs veteran, that said JFK was planning a second invasion of Cuba in the fall of 63. And I haven't read that in any history book or seen it in any documentary or anything ever. Is the Washington Post wrong? Are they right? What's the story? And he's like, oh, no, yes, we were going to do that. Yeah, we were. And I'm like, okay.
This is Kennedy's Secretary of State.
JFK Secretary of State is telling me something that's not in any history book, in any documentary, in any released document, anywhere. Because by that time, we'd been to the to this private archives in Washington. I'd been to the National Archives, and so it was just like, okay. So, and his demeanor changed completely. He's basically not the most exciting person. He's a pretty dry guy, and his special, the oral history, was dry. His incidents, most of them in his biography, were dry. But boy, he became animated, because he said, you know, I haven't talked about this in decades to anyone, because it was so secret at the time. I'm like, okay. In fact, he said it was so secret, I didn't even know the full story on the plan until after JFK was assassinated. So right. We're talking about a plan so secret that JFK's own Secretary of State, and later on I found out even JFK's own Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, really didn't know the full scope of this plan until after JFK died.
Right, and let me add very quickly, we'll get to this later on in the program, but, you know, I went to Washington, D.C. and met with a general who was involved in this, who essentially threatened my life if I ever went public with this.
That's how top secret that plan was. Let's save that story, because we're going to be getting to that in just a few minutes. So bottom line is, he said, yeah, we were going to do that. It was a live program. This wasn't a maybe, an if. No, this was a go.
And this is after the Bay of Pigs.
This is Bay of Pigs, April 61, Cuban Missile Crisis, October 1962. So now we're into November 1963. Literally when JFK died, this plan was imminent. And I asked him, I said, no, look, so we know, Congress, the Senate and the House, they found out in the 70s, the CIA was working with this mid-level Cuban official that really didn't have much power, but he had a big travel budget so he could go to Europe and places so he could meet his CIA contacts, named Rolando Cubella. Is that what we're talking about? He says, oh, no. He was so dismissed. He said, Cubella was so far down the totem pole compared to the person we were dealing with, you know, that the Kennedys were dealing with. And so, okay, so you know, there are not that many high-level leaders in Cuba, you know. Che and Raul and, of course, Fidel Castro Webster were the only three I knew. And so he didn't give me the name of the person, but he said he was, I said, so there's those three. And then he said, yeah, so basically the guy the Kennedys were working with was, he implied he was higher than Che, so that would pretty much make him the third most powerful man in Cuba. So this was just stunning.
By the way, John Kennedy's Secretary of State confirming that there was another plot to assassinate Castro that involved one of the top three Cuban officials that Bobby and John were.
And this is important. Your listeners will hear this again. He said, but we didn't look at it as an assassination plot. It was going to be a coup. This high level guy in Cuba was going to overthrow Fidel. It was going to be secret that we were secret forever, that we were secretly helping this guy. And so, it would just look like, Castro had been killed, and we later found out who he blamed on. And so, no one would ever know that the U.S., JFK wouldn't be taking credit for this in the 64 election. No, it would just be this thing happened in Cuba, there was this coup, and so this new guy's in charge, and we can deal with this new guy. And by the way, people don't have to take my word for that, because get this, the tape recorder kept rolling, because I kept looking at it, and the little wheels were spinning. This was old, cassette tape recorder. But as soon as Russ started talking about the secret plan, when you listen to the tape, it fades out. So, make of that what you will. But people have to take our word. You can, if you Google Vanity Fair, Dean Rusk, and probably Tom Hartman or Lamar Waldron, Vanity Fair confirmed this with Rusk, and he did it on the record and said, yep, that's what we were going to do. So after Rusk, then you and I were looking hard. So who else can we talk to? The obituary in the Washington Post that mentioned it. Well, that guy was dead. And the first FBI agent to ever go up against J. Edgar Hoover, a guy by the name of Bill Turner, William Turner.
Who was such a good guy.
Such a great guy. I highly recommend his
book. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's just a super guy. This is when presidents, attorney generals, and senators were all afraid of Hoover, and Bill Turner went up against him and got drummed out of the FBI, of course, but that let him get into the JFK stuff. So he had written a book, and he had interviewed a Cuban exile, apparently close to Bobby Kennedy, by the name of Enrique Ruiz Williams, who went by the name Harry Williams.
Right.
And so
Bill's book, by the way, that was The Fish is Red, wasn't it? Was the title?
Well,
of the book.
Fish is Red, and then it was reissued as Deadly Secrets, and right. I think it may even have a new name now. But like I say, William Turner, if he wrote it, you definitely want to read it. And so he even sent us his interview with Harry. He said, look, I don't want you guys starting from zero, because he'll just cover the stuff he's already told me. You want to get more than what he told me. So that was just great. So we didn't have to just cover what Harry had already told Bill. We said, okay, we know all this stuff. Now let's ask the next questions and get this. So turns out Harry was a big hero of the Bay of Pigs. He wasn't a leader at the Bay of Pigs. He was a hero. I mean, he was a hero. He was badly wounded. He was in a field hospital with maybe 20 other of the most badly wounded prisoners after they were all captured by Fidel. Fidel Castro goes into the field hospital. Harry reaches into his boot when Castro's about 6 feet away from him, and even though Harry's badly injured, he pulls out a pistol, points it at Fidel Castro, and fires. Unfortunately, Harry's fellow prisoners had thought Harry was so badly injured he might commit suicide with that pistol. They had removed the bullets. Fidel, though, so Fidel's guards all jumped on this badly injured Harry. Fidel waved him off. He said, look, this guy's got guts. He's got courage. Let's take him and these other guys. Let's put him in a good Cuban hospital. So for trying to kill Fidel, Harry got in a good Cuban hospital, and a guy came to visit Harry Williams, a guy who was the head of the Cuban army, the number three guy in Cuba, the highest black official in Cuba, because, of course, Fidel and Raul weren't black, and Che wasn't even Cuban. So they had known each other back when Commander Juan Almeida, who was then the head of the Cuban army, and would stay the head of the Cuban army for years, back when he would guard Harry's car, when Harry would go to that famous restaurant in Havana, I think it's called the Floridita, that Hemingway made famous, and when Almeida was a teenager, you know, Harry would pay him to watch his car to make sure nothing happened to it, but they stayed friends. And so now Commander Almeida is the head of the Cuban army, and he comes to see Harry. And we now know, Harry didn't even know this, Commander Almeida had made it clear 2 months before the Bay of Pigs that he was ready to defect and help the United States, but the CIA didn't act on that, even though their sources were telling them this, because the CIA was confident the mafia was going to kill Fidel, so they didn't need the head of the Cuban army. How stupid, right? But anyway, Commander Almeida told Harry, look, if you ever get the chance to convey information to John Kennedy, tell him that I think Fidel's going off the rails. It's not the socialist paradise. It's on its way to becoming a dictatorship. You know, a bunch of people helped overthrow the Nixon-supported dictator Batista, but you know, a lot of those guys had gone by the wayside. Either they had to fled or they'd been killed. And so, that friendship was rekindled there. Harry and the other badly wounded prisoners were released and told to go to the United States, and basically they had until the end of 1962 to get the Kennedys to ransom the other Bay of Pigs prisoners, or Castro implied he might start shooting them. And so Harry came to the United States. He was regarded as a total hero by all the other Cuban exiles, and he was the one that went to Bobby Kennedy and said, "You've got to do this." And things dragged out, and Richard Nixon, responsible for the whole mess, torpedoed early plans to get the prisoners out. So this became a very dramatic thing, and Harry and Robert Kennedy got those prisoners out by Christmas of 1962.
Yeah, it was an amazing story. I remember Harry telling us, well, we'll get into that in a minute. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, and we'll be right back. It's a deep dive into the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Lamar and I spent 2 decades. Lamar spent about 30 years digging into this stuff. We'll be right back. You probably heard by now that you should be using a VPN when you connect to the internet. Well, if you knew how easy it is to protect your connection with ExpressVPN, you'd be doing it already. ExpressVPN is the easiest way to browse safely, securely, and just better. First of all, it's blazing fast. Lots of other VPNs slow your connection to the point where it's not even worth it to connect. But ExpressVPN doesn't lag or buffer, and you can stream in HD with no issues. And it couldn't be easier to use. Just open the ExpressVPN app, click one button, and enjoy instant protection across all your devices. Once you connect to ExpressVPN, you won't even realize you have it on. But your connection is secure, your data is encrypted, and you can get access to content available outside your region. No wonder it's been called the best VPN by Business Insider and TechRadar. Right now, go to expressvpn.com/Tom, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. That's expressvpn.com/Tom. ExpressVPN.com/Tom.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 47 today under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 33. Clear skies. Tomorrow, highs around 53. Turning much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world and what we can do before it's too late. Renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
to discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
So for this week's special video, for the supporters of our program that we put up over at TomHartman.com, I stepped into the Wayback Machine, and it's really remarkable when you go back over what President Obama accomplished and the Democrats in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, what they accomplished between 2008 and 2010 when they controlled Congress and the White House versus everything that the Republicans blocked. I mean, the Democrats in those 2 years, they saved Chrysler, they saved General Motors, they turned 800,000 monthly job losses into job gains. They increased spending and education spending, decreased the cost of student loans, all kinds of great stuff. But then when the Republicans took over, they blocked a veterans job bill, they blocked Wall Street reform, they blocked immigration reform, they blocked political ad disclosure. And this is just a little tip of the iceberg. You can see the whole video over at TomHartman.com.
Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination and two other books about the Kennedy assassination we worked on for the better part of 20 years that were authored by both of us, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, although Lamar did the majority of the work on these books. So, Lamar, Harry Williams, very close friend with Bobby Kennedy, spends time with him in New York, spends time with him in the Hamptons, is working with him to try to overthrow the Bay of Pigs hero working. Well, let me just toss it to you. Continue.
Well, what happened was, so it became known in the Cuban exile community in Miami, which still had a lot of back and forth at that time with Cuba, of course, that Bobby Kennedy and Harry Williams were close. And so one day, Harry Williams gets a call from his old friend, the commander of the Cuban army, actually the guy who founded the Cuban army back when there were only like Castro and his 12 disciples, literally the guy who founded the Cuban army and was the commander of the Cuban army, Commander Juan Almeida, calls Harry on the phone in Miami. And Harry's a little cautious because he's like, well, isn't this phone bugged? And Almeida says, oh no, I control, that's controlled by the army, monitoring the conversations. To between Cuba and Miami. So no, you don't have to worry. This is probably the only safe line in all of Cuba to talk on. And he says, look, if you can get Bobby to get JFK on board, kind of like we had talked about back in the spring of '61, but now it's May of '63, I'll overthrow Fidel Castro for you, but I've got to know, you know, I've got to have the support of the President of the United States. So I actually have Bobby Kennedy's phone logs from that time, and you can see Bobby gets a call from Harry Williams. Bobby Kennedy calls JFK. They no doubt talk about Almeida's offer, and then Bobby Kennedy calls Harry Williams back, no doubt saying that, yeah, JFK is on board. And by the way, it's within a week of that we now have files, thanks to the Fifth Government Committee, the Assassination Records Review Board, that show that high levels of the American military and other national security groups start making plans for what to do if high-level Cuban military official were to make an outreach to the United States. And of course, you know, so they start making these plans. It'll keep going all the way through November. But of course, most of the people working on those plans are just looking at it as like Dean Rusk, as a what-if exercise. In reality, only JFK, Robert Kennedy, and a few other high officials, including Secretary of the Army Cyrus Vance, the father of the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr. So again, you see how secret it is.
So these were the only guys who knew that in the first week of December of 63, which was, you know, 2 weeks after Kennedy was assassinated.
Well, literally, we have the date from the CIA file and implying it from what Harry said, but it was literally 10 days after Dallas, December 1st, 1963. That was the date. One military file doing that contingency, that the what-if planning, literally calls that D-Day. So yeah, no, we know.
So they were going to take out Castro on that day, and the thing that stopped it was Kennedy being assassinated.
Exactly. So a couple more super important things about the coup plan, aside from the fact of how secret it was. As far as I can tell, only about a dozen American officials, including, you know, JFK and Bobby, of course, and Cyrus Vance, and Alexander Haig, of all people, knew that all this planning that started the week after Almeida called Harry Williams wasn't just a what-if scenario, but it was the real thing.
But they also had to figure out what to do to deny, you know, to have deniability. And this is what led to the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination.
Well, and as Harry Williams told us, there would be someone in Cuba to take the fall for it.
Right.
And from those planning documents, we know that would be a Russian or a Russian sympathizer. So the CIA would be responsible for getting a Russian or a Russian sympathizer in place in Cuba, and they would take the blame.
All right, can you spell Lee Harvey Oswald? We will continue this conversation on the other side of this break. We're doing a 3-hour deep dive into the Kennedy assassination with, in my opinion, the preeminent scholar, the guy the Chicago Tribune called one of the best investigative journalists in the United States. Variety magazine called him the ultimate JFK historian, Lamar Waldron. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Spoiled supermarket meats, sawdust-like fillers, artificial preservatives. These are just a few of the potentially harmful ingredients found in many popular dog foods today. That's why Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw dog food made with real cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, superfood veggies, and fruit. Dr. Marty has been called the miracle worker by Forbes because he's helped countless dogs thrive. Our dogs love this food. Nature's Blend is designed to help support your dog's playfulness, healthy skin, soft coat, easy digestion, and youthful mobility. Dogs go bonkers for the savory flavor and texture. For the holidays, save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and a free festive holiday dog sweater with select orders. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. They offer 100% 90-day return on your purchase price. Text Tom to 511-511 today. Offer available with select orders while supplies last. Text fees may apply. You may receive.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.